Happy Thursday, everyone. It's Pop Culture Mondays on Thursdays, and it's me, Brooke. Pop Culture Mondays on Thursdays. Hello, hello. My gosh, I'm slurping coffee right now. Normally, we record the podcast in the afternoons, and I am well-nourished and satiated and vibrant and... This week, that is not the case. I'm looking at myself. Oh my God, David, you're looking at me. I have like the deepest circles under my eyes. I also look like I've aged like 18 years in the last 4 days. I sound like a broken record, but having a dog, you know, when you have kids, theoretically, they get easier when they get older, though I don't know if that's actually the case. I mean, if I look at what I did to my poor parents during my teenage years, I think they would have much rather me be a three-year-old. And a 15-year-old. But theoretically, children get easier. Like they end up going, learning how to go to the toilet by themselves and putting themselves to sleep and whatnot. My dog is regressing. So I've had weeks and weeks and weeks. So we've had the ball issue. And then my dog, Potato, is a French bulldog. So he doesn't have a long nose. He has a short nose. And I'm a city girl. Even though I've lived in LA for a few years now, I'm still a city girl. He's still a city dog. He didn't chase squirrels in New York. I mean, he did, but he would be on the leash with me and we'd be running across, you know, pavement after a squirrel. And he then did it in the backyard, which I don't know what he's done the last few years when he saw squirrels. But this particular time he did it, ran into the bushes, and it's eye first when you're a French bulldog or any sort of flat faced dog. And so his eyes went into the bushes and he scratched his cornea, which is awesome. So he's in a cone and I have to try putting eye drops in this fucker. Like you try. Somebody come over here and do it for me because I am like reprimanding him. I'm like, you're grounded if you don't let me do this. Like I'm talking to a dog. And then he ate pizza crust, and pizza crust apparently that had garlic in it. This is just recently. And again, 10 years I've had this guy, never had garlic, never did this before, but he did it. And I've had like many sleepless nights since then, because if you have dogs and you've had dogs with garlic, you understand the drill. It's like an every 2 hour experience. Walking through the hills where I live, I was walking him at like 2 a.m. the last few nights. It's pitch black. There is nothing, no cars, nothing. And I'm a city girl. You would think that means that I'm like tough, but I'm tough because everything is always alive in the city. Everybody is awake. People are always around. Here, I am walking through these mean Hollywood Hills streets, and it's like I'm going to encounter there's like a few things that go through my mind. A mountain lion, which I have never seen. I have not seen a mountain lion, but in my brain, this is when I'm going to see a mountain lion. And a mountain lion or a cougar or whatever they're fucking called. I think there are like 8 names for the same animal. I can't keep track, but let's just call it a mountain lion. It's going to find me and my dog, and it's going to kill me on this 2 a.m. walk. And insult to injury, in my mind, I look terrible. I'm wearing like flannel pajama pants and Uggs and like a t-shirt, and this is how I'm going to go. So the next day, I actually, at 2 a.m, made myself look cuter when I went out, because I was like, if I get killed, and it's not just by the mountain lion. The other thoughts were coyote, maybe a coyote, and I do see coyotes, but I don't think I'm going to get killed by one, but who knows? It's possible. My third and most likely scenario is serial killer. Obviously, the serial killer has decided at that exact moment in time to be sitting in their car, looking out onto the sort of vista of Los Angeles from one of my little areas of my particular hillside. And they're going to see me walking my dog in the pitch black with a flashlight and murder me. So that's another likely scenario, most likely scenario. And then the least likely scenario, but honestly, the most likely reality is that a neighbor is going to think I'm a prowler because they're going to see somebody walking outside through their Ring camera or through their window, walking in the sheer blackness with a little flashlight. And they're going to shoot me because we're in America. So all of these scenarios are going through my head. It's a lot in my brain, and I've only had a few hours of sleep. I am processing each night differently, so I get cuter. So in case I do get killed, I like my mother was like, you know, always change your underwear. You don't want to get in a car accident and look like shit. That was her. That's how my mom thought. Like you always looked good. You didn't go to the grocery store looking like a schlub. And I judge heavily when I'm on an airplane, for example, and I see people wearing like things that you wouldn't wear in public ever, but they're on an airplane. Like, put some socks on, don't wear sandals, leggings, like bra tops, things like that. I judge. But then there I am walking my dog in exactly that. And since I've come to LA, this whole like leisure wear for everyday wear, I have to, my mom's mantra needs to come back into my head. Like, I need to put myself together. So that's come the last few days at 2 o'clock in the morning, where I put on like a pair of like nice tight jeans and a cute little top and a cute little sneaker as I'm walking through the hills, just on the off chance serial killer decides to take me out and my picture gets thrown on the Daily Mail with the dog. We look good. We look good. But that's my rant. I am a little tired too, because I went to a premiere last night, and generally I get a lot of anxiety around premieres for a variety of reasons, whether I was like going with somebody involved with the film. That's a whole nother level of anxiety. But this one, I was like a guest of our friend Seth Fradkoff, who's amazing. Everybody should follow him on social media. He's fantastic. He's always with his little dog named Bob. I love him. He's a theater guy. He's a movie promoter. He's genius. And I don't know how I met Seth, but I vaguely think I met him on an airplane when I was going to Jamaica. But maybe Seth will have to correct me. Anyway, he's fabulous. He was doing the publicity for the film. He invited me. I brought my friend Heather. Hi, Heather. We had a great time. But LA premieres are different than New York premieres. You would think it's more intense in LA. New York is more intense. I don't know. New York is more intense. The urgency and the immediacy and the lights and the, you know, you're not the celebrity and you have to like navigate the red carpet. And this was really low key. This was in Westwood. It's like UCLA territory. Everyone is there from UCLA screaming. Why? Because I went to see the premiere of Challengers starring Zendaya. I was in the same room as Zendaya. I breathed the same oxygen as Zendaya. Zendaya's entire body is the size of my upper thigh. And that's not, I don't even think that's true. I think my upper thigh is actually wider than Zendaya, but I saw Challengers and the premiere was so well done. I mean, so organized. I even saw some of the some celebrities and cast of Euphoria were picking up their tickets at will call. And then somebody came over and was like, no, you can come with us. I was like, yeah, they're not pedestrians like us. What are they doing? But it was all very civilized. We didn't have to deal with the red carpet, which always gives me anxiety. Like I'm like ducking and like, I don't want to look like a publicist or assistant, which incidentally I did just last week when I accompanied our darling Miss Kara Swisher to the Paley Center media event that was held at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, which is like the famous theater. Is that where the Oscars are? I know that big awards ceremonies are there. It's also where Jimmy Kimmel is filmed. It's a huge theater. She was interviewing the cast and like writers and producers and creators of The Morning Show. Also very famous people, AKA Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. You know, very famous cast. And I was there with Kara in the green room. She's preparing for her, you know, introduction and interviews. And it's like 12,000 people on the stage with her. So she's preparing like everybody's name, how to pronounce it, how to sort of, you know, make it where it's not just one question per person, but like, how do you bring people together in a 12 person panel? Really strange. And the I guess publicists of Reese and Jen, and I'm sure some of the other actors came in, and they are fangirling Kara for sure. And who wouldn't? I get it. And they're fangirling Kara. But you have to understand, Kara and I are sitting at a little table together with our, you know, there was like some chips there and we had our waters and our phones. And it's not like a big table. It's a little table. So when people crowd around one person at that little table, the other person is most definitely feeling excluded. Hence that other person being me. And I'm sitting there like twiddling my thumbs as they're like, Kara, oh my God, we love your podcast. Oh my God, your book is amazing. Oh my God. You know, and like they're talking about their clients and how much they love the podcast. And Kara's eating it up and I get it. And she's, you know, rightfully having a lovely conversation with them. And she catches my eye and she, she's like, oh, I've done it again, which is Brooke is sitting on the sidelines looking like the publicist slash assistant, more like the assistant. And so it is at least my assumption that these women assume I'm Kara's like assistant. Like I'm the phone holder. I am the girl to hold the bag. I am insignificant, inconsequential, certainly not somebody worthy of just acknowledging at this table. And I know some of you are listening. You're like, aren't you in PR? It's very different. The public relations that I am in and that my industry is in technology and Silicon Valley and business is not publicity. So I would never say I'm a publicist. It's different. No insult to the publicists of the world. We're just coming at it from a very different perspective. So then Kara overcorrects, which I appreciate. I always like an overcorrection. And she's like, guys, this is one of my best friends. This is Brooke. She's one of the most powerful communications people in Silicon Valley or something like that. And it was just like very over the top, very hilarious. And they're like, oh, hi. So nice to meet you. It wasn't nice. They didn't have any interest in meeting me, but it was hilarious to see the sort of realization that Kara is not like a Hollywood celebrity. She's not traveling with a publicist and an assistant. She's traveling with a Brooke. That's just what I am. I'm a Brooke. I am basically the publicist, the assistant, the best friend, the baggage handler. It's all of those things. And I do it with great love, but I did not meet Jennifer Aniston or Reese Witherspoon. It was very hectic, but I did have a really lovely conversation with Nestor Carbonell, who plays Yanko on Morning Show. And if any of you are my generation, you remember him from, I mean, he was on Suddenly Susan. Like that goes way back with Brooke Shields. Like, so and he hasn't aged. He's literally looked exactly the same since I was in college. And he's also on Shogun, which if you've been listening to this podcast, you know, I am a complete and utter fan of. I am a total junkie of Shogun. I love it. So it was really interesting to talk to him. And he was from New York. He's from New York and he went to boarding school and we had a lot of commonality and it was fun to talk to him. So, and he was like, what? He thought I was the assistant and publicist. So he had me explain what I did. And then it turns out his sister works in comms and tech and la-di-da, all is well. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about challengers. So flip side, I was just there as a guest. I was not there accompanying a celebrity like Kara Swisher. And so we just slipped in and we got our seats. They had popcorn. I had my Diet Coke. So civilized. And then it's huge theater. It fills out. And then the cast and the filmmaker come in. And being in the same room with Zendaya, I have to tell you, there's just, I don't know if there's anybody right now that is as captivating and is like star power as this woman. And you just, the oxygen shifts the room. You could feel her in the room the minute she came into the room. And I want to talk about this movie. It's, I guess it comes out this weekend. This is a butcher, his name. And this is a girl who lived in Italy and went to school there for a long time. Luca Guadagnino. Let's just say Luca, but you'll know him from such masterpieces as Call Me By Your Name, which I loved. And I happen to love the Bones and All Very Strange Cannibal movie. So he is this incredible genius filmmaker. Obviously, if you saw Call Me By Your Name, there's no disputing it. And he made Challengers. And it was a movie that was meant to come out ages ago, but because of the strike and it's out. All I can say is it's the strangest movie and yet fascinating, yet I loved it, yet there's no way this movie would be made if Zendaya wasn't attached to it. There's just no way. It's just like the strangest movie. There's no stars in the movie other than her, but the guys are incredible. And it's a tennis movie, but it's also like an 80s romance, homoerotic. There's so many things. It's like St. Elmo's Fire meets Call Me By Your Name meets Match Point meets a tennis like rom-com. I can't explain it. There is a lot of advertising, whether it was meant to or not, but like that was something that stuck out to Heather and I. Like Stanford, like you're welcome. You just had an entire movie being about you. And Uniqlo and On, those sneakers. It was a lot. It also opens up in New Rochelle, which is a real weird one for any of you listening. Like, that's where my dad's from. It's Westchester County. It's where I'm from, one of the towns next to New Rochelle. This completely threw me off my game. I was like, New Rochelle, what is happening? It's a strangest movie. Like, it's the strangest movie, and it goes, it time shifts back and forth. Like, and they are the same, but they look like they're children. They look like they're like 18 years old when then they look like they're in their 30s. It's masterful. But Zendaya is captivating. There's not like really one scene she's not in. I loved this movie, but I can't explain it. It's a real head scratcher, because you know, this movie, there is no movie without her in it, but the guys are also great and they're definitely going to be stars. One of them is, if you were the Crown fan, was Prince Charles, the young Prince Charles, like when he was crowned the like Prince of Wales, when he became like the teenager Prince Charles with the big ears, the floppy ears. He's great. They're both great. The cast is really, it's wild, but I can only explain, if you saw Call Me By Your Name, obviously a homoerotic film, much more so than this one, but still there's embers, if you will. But if you recall, Call Me By Your Name was such an 80s film. It's set in the 80s. There was sort of like throwback references to 80s movies. And it's also felt very European, multiple language being spoken. If you'd ever spent a summer in Italy or the south of France, it sort of would register for you. This movie felt very, even though it sort of is in our time and goes back maybe 13 years, it feels still like a throwback to 80s stuff. I can't explain it. So I want you to see it. It's like, you have to see this movie because it's fascinating. Like, it's the strangest movie. It really is. And let me tell you, the music, it is scored by Trent Reznor. So that is all I need to say. If that had not been the case and you put in like, you know, sappy sort of music, totally different movie, incredibly different movie. But Trent Reznor it's incredible. It gives this edge. It's like this drama, but I can't categorize this movie. I mean, Heather and I were like walking out. We're like, what was that? Was like a film noir? Was it a rom-com? Was it a homoerotic thriller? Was it a sports movie? I cannot, there is no category for this movie, but that's what's so fascinating about it. It's like, I thought about it all night. Like, I literally woke up and was like, oh my goodness, Tashi. She's a movie star. She is unequivocally a fucking movie star. I just don't understand how you can be that beautiful, that talented, that exceptional, and that apparently, like, in her talking with everybody, like, humble and like down to earth. I don't understand, but she's clearly the perfect human being. I am like, I stand Zendaya. I have no other way to explain it. Her body is just spectacular as well. Like, there's no other human being. Like, she is ethereal. She is not from this world. Okay, so that's it. I need to move on because this is turning into a really creepy Zendaya podcast, and I need to move on. And this is also like one of my last podcasts in my 40s. So like, I need to sort of like, you know, adult it. Something else that has sort of percolated into the pop culture zeitgeist that is sports related. And let's just say, in Challengers, this amazing film on so many levels, as I've said, you do have Zendaya in lots of adorable tennis outfits. And we've seen Zendaya on the red carpet. Like, she's bringing it. Like, in actuality, last night, she wore this like unbelievable, like, tennis ball, green, yellow dress in the movie theater that had like a tennis ball. Like, she's bringing it. A lot of it is Loewe, all of that. But her outfits in the movie, she's in a lot of little skimpy, cute tennis clothes. And, you know, Zendaya can pull it off. But there is talk around some other sports outfits that have been making its way around the socials, from TikTok to Instagram to Twitter to the mainstream news. And that is Nike's new uniforms for the USA track and field team. And it's for both men and women. So they've released it. We'll put a link in the show notes, but they are very skimpy. Let's just talk about, the girls are very skimpy. It's like they're running in, it's basically a bathing suit. It's not shorts. It's very revealing, but there's a lot of funny sort of comments about it. There was one comment that's like, my hoo-ha is going to be out. And another comment was, which labia do I put in there? Guys, I mean, Nike is nothing if not controversial when they do new things.
Okay, Nike. So this is one of the women's kits for USA Track and Field. It was released today. That just says you and your labia, you can go for the gold. I'm going to assume there will be an official Team USA bikini waxer on hand in Paris. You know, I did see a couple of the women model these, and it didn't look so much like your hoo-ha is going to say bonjour in Paris. But this just, you know, this ain't it, Nike. This ain't it.
It's a very, you know, I guess the idea is frictionless, and the less clothing, the easier it is to run. I don't know if they had track and field stars. I would imagine sort of consulting on these sort of uniforms. We, you know how Nike sort of works with athletes to create their product line. So I imagine there was, you know, input here from track and field stars, but the controversy is real. It's, oh my God, guys, it's very, somebody said it's very Baywatch. It's very Pamela Anderson running on the beach, but these are the track and field. So imagine them running along the track or throwing the javelin or jumping over the bar. There's very little left to the imagination. God willing, you know, I can go on, but it's like a little speed suit, but very, it's also high cut. It's like around the little area there. I would be picking it out all the time. I don't know how that's going to be comfortable. I would be so self-conscious. I mean, obviously they have incredible bodies and they're fit and they're strong, but I mean, something to be said for, you know, not wanting your vagina to fall out when you're running a 5K or whatever you're doing, a relay race. So you definitely take a look. You'll hear about it now. If you haven't heard about it, it will start popping up in your socials and you'll see what I'm talking about. The other thing that's happened this week that was not in the newsletter that really is disturbing to me is if you're familiar with Keith McNally. Keith McNally is a restaurateur. I'm taking a sip of my coffee because it's just been sitting here. Oh, it's not as hot as it was. That's a shame. Keith McNally, Balthazar, Pastis, legendary English restaurateur, and has like these iconic restaurants in New York. And he's opening restaurants all over the place, but Balthazar, Pastis, like there's others. There's plenty of others that you'll know. But he had a stroke years ago and came back from that and is different and is very outspoken in his online presence. He is controversial. He'll say things like Woody Allen is the greatest and Woody and Sunyi have been railroaded, or Ghislaine Maxwell is the best and is my dear friend, while then like going off on people for no reason. And he's controversial. Sometimes he's like, I'm not going to be posting here. I need a Instagram break. This is bad for my mental health. And then like 8 hours later, he posts like 18 posts. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. There is a big following. I find him to be like fascinating to watch. And, you know, sometimes I agree with him, but for the most part, I watch out of just fascination. And I know people that are friends with him, and I am a big fan of his restaurants and all of that. But and I know we've had a little bit of fun here with Lauren Sanchez. And I will be the first to admit there's been some of her outfit choices that I've been like, okay, a little baffled by. I mean, we've talked about it. By no means am I not suggesting that her body, her physique, like incredible. Yes, she's, you know, a symbol of the times. And she's in this category of women that have put a lot of work into themselves, both, you know, physically and cosmetically. But look, she is, from everyone I know who knows her, she is a wonderful person. She is a lovely person. She is a very smart person, no question. And she's doing a lot of fucking good with a lot of money. And, you know, not everybody fits into the lifestyle we choose, that we
decide upon. And she likes to live her life in public and they're flashy and whatnot. And it is funny to have seen Jeff Bezos go from the guy I used to know through 25 years ago, geeky, khaki pant, front pleated wearing guy to like, you know, master of the universe. And some of their choices have been strange. Maybe master of the universe is the wrong word. Marvel villain. I mean, he looks a little bit like that. But, you know, the Vogue pictures and the Coachella, and it's a lot. I get it. But like, it's their life. And, you know, I certainly can make little snickery comments about the outfit choices. Again, I do that with a lot of people. Not my outfit choice, but my God, what do I know? If I had her body and I had her money, who the fuck knows what I'd be wearing? I think, though, that I would be sitting on a boat somewhere without anybody else seeing me and just like living my life. But again, not to judge. So Keith McNally, out of the blue, for no apparent reason, it's not like they came to the restaurant and were insulting, you know, which is usually when he reacts. It just sort of, he decided one day that this was his choice. And he posted a series of photos of Lauren and Jeff Bezos. And in every picture, she's definitely in like boobalicious outfits. And he writes, does anybody else find Jeff Bezos's new wife? I don't believe they're married yet, but what do I know? Lauren Sanchez, absolutely revolting. Now, absolutely revolting is in all caps. What an ugly and fucking smug looking couple they make. Is this what having $1,000 billion does to people? Okay. That is unacceptable. And there's just, it's disgusting. It is horrific behavior. It's one thing to be like, whoa, look at that dress, or that's an outfit choice. This is bullying. This is disgusting. This is horrible. And I found myself just like knee jerk reaction. Also, I'm not going to lie, there are people that I know that liked this post. I immediately have discounted them. And I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but like, seriously, like you're liking it and people commenting like, yeah, absolutely. It's the same type of people that would comment on a Daily Mail story, like all the time on their hands. They're jealous. They're angry. I have no idea, but it is truly terrible. I made a comment because I don't normally comment on these things and I certainly don't know him, but I said, what a horrid thing to say. Has she harmed you? Has she hurt someone you love? Then there's no excuse for this. Zero. Like if she had done something horrible to him, like fine, I, you know, go after her, whatever, but no. And then somebody responded to me, he's just being honest. Like, oh, okay. Like honesty is subjective, I guess in this case. But the people that did comment that got quite a bit of reaction, Chrissy Teigen, she's actually incredibly dynamic, accomplished, and kind. And everyone who knows her would say the same. My darling Stephanie Rule wrote, no, I think she's accomplished, kind, smart, and loved. Social media is fun, but this is not. It's just mean for no reason. If we all just took a breath and thought about what it feels like to be mocked and teased, we'd do a lot less of it. Yeah, it's, and then Olivia Nuzzi, love you, Olivia. She's like, Keith, no. So good. And Molly Jung Fast, no, wrong. A wonderful entrepreneur, venture capitalist I know, David Yulevich, wrote, rude and unnecessary. And all of these I agree with. And now I find myself defending Lauren Sanchez. And she doesn't need me defending her. Girl's got, like, she's going to be the last one laughing. But this is what misogyny looks like. It's just pure misogyny. Like it is, it just exists. Like, just like anti-Semitism is sort of just in the consciousness of people, misogyny is, and that is pure misogyny. It is what it is. And at the end of the day, he's also jealous and, you know, whatnot. But it's disgusting. And I think she's risen above it. She's posted some sort of, you know, eloquent stories about being kind and about people who say nasty things about you. It's about them, not you, but nobody, it's just, this is the world. And we want to say it's Gen Z, or we want to say it's the MAGAs, or we want to say these are the people that are messing it up. Like this is a, like probably somebody you agree with politically, Keith McNally, somebody you admire, somebody whose restaurants you've loved, somebody who sort of has a sense of humor, is really accomplished, successful, educated, civilized, and he's doing this. So this, it's just like this corruption of the brain and the social graces of what it's okay. Like I do think about I posted something about my mom on the anniversary of her death last week. And I said, you know, this is not a world you would love. Like, and I made fun of the fact that like guys wear baseball caps at restaurants and women wear athleisure and sports bras as fashion and people film TikToks in the middle of the road or, you know, certain social graces. And that would be my mom would be shocked by, and this would be one of them. This would be, she would just, I mean, she would probably walk into Balthazar and find Keith McNally and slap him across the face. And some saying like, shocking, you are a shocking monstrosity of a man. And I wish we had that back, because this behavior, it just rots the brain. And then to see these people that I know liking it or even going as far as defending it, unacceptable, unacceptable. Like I have no words, just that's my word, unacceptable. So there you have it. That's been sort of the thing that's been going on. If you read the newsletter, I really just sort of break down the O.J. Simpson, you know, the juice is loose. I don't really want to talk more about it. It's such old news now, but I sort of showcase some of the funny memes that came about. And, you know, looking at the pop culture moments that this brought to us, it was really the first thing, like my generation, when OJ died, my generation sort of, you know, we all remembered those moments, like where we were during the car chase, which apparently 95 million people watched. And I remember where I was. I was in Buffalo for some reason, visiting friends and eating buffalo wings. And we just sat at a bar and just watched the TV. And then where we were when the verdict was read, I was living in Italy, obviously not learning Italian, clear as day. But I was living in Italy. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have email. We didn't have, I mean, email existed, but it was very, very nascent. We didn't have laptops. I had a Brother word processor. And I was walking across past the Duomo from class, going to my apartment. And it was like, I remember this day. It was like a October rainy evening. It was probably around 6 o'clock or something like that on the night in October. And I had one of those apartments. It was a grandmother's apartment that has been in the family for years. It had one of those doors that's like 14 feet high and one of those long keys that you see in like the movies, like a real, like an actual key that's like 6 inches long. And I'm hearing my phone ring as I'm walking up those like very Italian steps in an apartment building. So I'm racing up to the stairs thinking it's like a boy that I like back in the States. And I get the key in that big, huge 14-foot door and I race in and I pick up the phone. It's like ring, 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 you know, the Italian sounding phone. And it's my mom. And she's like, the verdict, they're about to read the verdict. And I was like, what? Say no more. And you're racing to turn the TV on. But you also have these big, huge European windows in apartments in Italy and Europe. And, you know, those big sort of like, you can open them up and they're thin glass. And it was a warmish evening, even though it was rainy. And I turned on the TV and then you hear the verdict, not guilty. And you hear the shrieking, the shouting from people in their apartments all throughout Florence. This is Florence. This is not New York. This is not Los Angeles. This was Florence, Italy, the shock of not guilty. It was, you know, and apparently 150 million people watched that at that exact moment in time. The only other thing that was happening pop culture wise in my mind was that Blur and Oasis was having a battle on MTV about who is better. That was the big thing in Europe, Blur versus Oasis, and everything else was OJ. And this is just the pop culture references. So the juice is loose. We talked about that. We talk a little bit about Coachella. I post some videos. We have a whole nother weekend to go of Coachella. So God bless. It seems like a hot mess. I'm not going to lie. I don't have any desire to go to Coachella. It's like when you have Teresa Giudice from Real Housewives of New Jersey and Taylor Swift in a photo together, posing together, I've had it. I've like, it's crossed over into a Rubicon that I don't even want to be a part of anymore. I do want to know where Tree Payne, Taylor Swift's publicist, was. Like, how did that picture get released? How is that? You had Teresa Giudice in her pink sequins cowgirl getup with Taylor Swift. I, you know, God bless, but it's like mega, it's just influencers and reality show stars. And then you have like mixed in with Taylor Swift and Rihanna, but like the VIP section, and just feels too inside baseball. And then the fashion, like everybody's feet in those cowboy boots for 18 hours. My feet were hurting just watching it. It's hilarious. Like, I want to go to a festival and I can just wear my cute little Nikes and like jeans and a t-shirt. Why? I've talked about this. I've said this last year. Like, why does it have to be this fashion? It's such an uncomfortable experience to be in a fashion forward moment. You're in the desert. It goes from hot to cold. You're walking 18 miles. You're not sitting. Why are you putting yourself through torture in these fashion moments for a photo or an Instagram or a TikTok? I don't know. Another thing that popped up on social media was the big storm in Dubai. I don't know if you guys saw that, but there was a massive storm in Dubai. They had more rainfall in 12-hour period than in 75 years or something like that. Really, I mean, and it's not to be made light of. There was real devastation. And I don't know how many of their lives lost. There are videos of like animals being saved. There's this one with this cat like holding onto a door of a car and they come in and they save it. But there's also these rumors. Now, I don't know if this is true. Again, this is all from TikTok and social media, but there are these rumors that if you've been to Dubai, you know, like the future exists in Dubai. Like they can air condition the beach. Like they can, there are systems where they put coolers underneath the sand in the man-made beaches. So when it's a gazillion degrees, your feet don't burn on the sand. I mean, there's state-of-the-art shit. So they are saying that they did something with the clouds. They have this system where they sort of like, I don't know, put something into the atmosphere and that caused the rainstorms. Who knows if it's true, but there are amazing videos of the wind and the rain barreling down and you see all these people in Dubai, you know, which you don't think of as a place that's going to have heavy rains. It's desert, but there you have people there showing just this, the tenacity, the force of this storm and the destruction that it caused. And obviously any time you have a huge amount of water, whether you're in Los Angeles or in Dubai, you just, lots of problems arise. Nobody is equipped to have that much water happen. There's no drainage system set up, but it was the rain, the storms, the wind, and you I'll see it unfold on some of these extraordinary TikToks where it's scary. It's some people are doing it like, look at how fun it is. Da, 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 da. And then there've been some social media folks here in the US who maybe don't have the most worldly understanding of things. And they like made light of it. There's some housewife made a joke about being in the Dubai storm and like her in the pool. And you know, these aren't the brightest people. They make fun of people's tragedies and make light of it because they don't understand the cultural sort of like the global impact of what it is in people's lives and all of that. But it is another thing taking over like every third or fourth TikTok I'm seeing right now. And that's obviously because my algorithm, I'm looking at it, but it's still, there's a lot of content around the storm and it's, you're seeing it from all different perspectives and it's a wild ride. So go check it out. So that's it. Okay. We're going to wrap there because I got to get on a conference call, but my Mary makeout mute. I'm marrying and I'm making out with Zendaya and the entire cast of Challengers. And it'll make sense. It makes sense in the context of the movie. Make out and marry, sort of, that's the movie. Because like never the two, maybe they're both, there's intersecting. Maybe there's there's making out and there's marriage. Maybe not together. I make out and marry Zendaya and the entire cast and creators of Challengers because I can't stop thinking about it. It's such a strange movie. I loved it. And I'm muting Keith McNally and all Keith McNallys, all of you misogynist men who decide that you wake up one day and be like, I'm going to just terrorize a woman for shits and giggles today just because I feel like it. You are muted. You are unimportant. You are pitiful. And so that's it. Have an amazing week, my darlings. And Rob and Walt, I hope you're having an amazing time in Hawaii. I'm so jealous. I'll see you next week. Mwah. Pop culture.